right around along with my message and the testimony for the night, how the Lord dealt with different individuals, you know, how they were off on the wrong track and going through things, and then the Lord got them where they needed to be at the last moment. But my title tonight is Victory Despite Afflictions. And we do go through some things in this life. And the word affliction means pain, suffering, distress, or calamity. It's just sometimes things are going along smooth and just all of a sudden everything goes the opposite direction. And just like when I was driving down the road, didn't expect to hit that ice, couldn't see it, and there it was. But the Lord kept his hand on me. And I thought about the little incident I had when I went to the hospital the other day. I was doing just fine, and we went to be out to a little cookout, my wife and I, and then all of a sudden things turned the other direction and didn't know if I was going to make it the next day the way things were looking. But I ended up with about a few $1,000 worth of doctor bills. I got one yesterday, a little over $2,200 for ambulance ride, just one way to Tulsa. It wasn't a very smooth ride. You'd think you could have got a limousine for that price. But anyway, no, it's just how things go in this life. Sometimes, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden there, you know, the disobedience and things came into the world, you know, sin and things the devil does in this world because the way things are going right now. But it's going to all come to an end one day. The Lord's going to work it all out, and it's going to end. We will have to deal with things like that. But I thank also the Lord for Cindy's mom getting things right with her Lord. And I think Sarah went up and talked to her the other day. And I don't know what all you said, but Cindy asked her mom the other day, you know, have you got things made right with the Lord? And she said yes. So things aren't looking real good for her right now. She's pretty bad shape, but the Lord knows all about it. And he can bring her out of it, or he can take her on home, however he wants to do it. But she's ready to go, and that makes the world of difference. But first scripture I'll go to is in John 10 and 10. It says, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. We know the thief is the devil. He comes to take lives and destroy them, and anything that we own, or, you know, anything he can do, just turn our life upside down. He doesn't like God's people. He doesn't like those made in God's image. Anyone wanting to live for the Lord, he wants to destroy them. And he's out to destroy anyone he can. But thank the Lord, it doesn't have to be that way. But I just appreciate the Lord tonight, and let's all go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here. Heavenly Father, I just ask the Lord for your anointing, your help, Lord, as the message tonight. Lord, just pray, God, that what I say would help someone, Lord, and that your word would go out and not return void, Lord, that it accomplished what you preferred for it to do. I just pray, God, that you'd have your way in this service tonight, Lord, and we just give you the praise and the thanks and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe seated. But I kind of wrestled with the Lord about this message. It seems kind of like a doom and gloom message when you look at it from one perspective. Talks about, got several examples here about different individuals that lived for the Lord and what they went through. And despite the fact they were working for the Lord and they loved him and everything seemed like it was going against them. But just like the glass is half full or half empty, you can look at it two different ways. You can say it's positive or negative. But as we look at the end results, where they ended up, you know, they went to be with the Lord later on. And despite all that was coming against them, they had the victory. And they made it home. And the Lord will just reward them that much more for what they endured for his sake. And anyone that stands for the Lord, you know, you're going to know that they're going to face some trials. That's just the way it is in this world. The Bible tells us that. But it says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. And the church was persecuted back in the days Jesus walked the face of the earth here. And even back in Moses' day, they were in bondage there in Egypt. And the Lord told Abram, before he became Abraham, that those people would be in bondage for a while, approximately 400 years. In Exodus 12 and 40, it tells us here, I think it was dialed down a little closer to 430 years. It says, so now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt in a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. So they were in a predicament there for quite a while, and they were going through some severe treatment there themselves, and there's conflict and it's going on, the afflictions they faced. But they were crying out to the Lord, and the Lord heard them, and he answered their prayers. In Exodus 3 and 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And the Lord was speaking to Moses there at that burning bush when he told him this, and he was sending him out. And Moses, I believe, was about 80 years old at that time. You can imagine taking on a project like that at that age. And we get to thinking, oh Lord, I can't do this and I can't do that, and we're nowhere near the age he was, and wasn't near as big a job as he had. But God is able, and he can take us through whatever he sends us out to do. He's there with us. And Job 34, and 28. It says, so that they may cause the cry of the poor to come unto me, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. And the Lord sees all this going on. He knows our hearts and what we're going through. He knows even the number of hairs on our head, and all things before we even know really about ourselves. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. But he is there. He is for us. He's not against us. And he's working to get us into heaven. And sometimes we may have to go through some hardships on the way. He called us to be a soldier for him. And a soldier, they're not going to a land where they're going to have a good time and, see the sights and just hang out for a while. They're going there for a reason. They've got a battle to fight, and we're in that same situation. We're in a battle, and we're fighting for the Lord. But we may have to go through some hardships. There's going to be some training, and just like Brother Jonathan, he's in the military, and I'm sure he's not enjoying everything he's going through, all the training. It's been rough, I'm sure, but the Lord, we pray, is with him and helping him. I know he is, and he'll see him through. But there's a reason for all that hardship and training. God's got to get us to a position where He wants us sometimes, and it's not always roses on the way. In Proverbs 1 and 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel would not of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. And they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." But it says those that, it says, "Turn ye at my reproof." That means repent, turn back the right direction. But He's saying those that will not listen, they refuse to hear Him, He's not going to hear them when they call. And you can look at the situation of the Egyptians, the one that were afflicting the Hebrew people. And God brought many plagues upon them. He brought lice upon them, locusts, hell with fire, boils, darkness, death of the firstborn. And we know how it all ended for them. They were drowned in the Red Sea. But Pharaoh, he refused to listen to God. And God was giving him a command, you know, "Turn my people loose." And Moses was the one going and telling him what the Lord was saying. He was the spokesman for the Lord. But he repeatedly hardened his heart and turned and wouldn't listen to God. And it didn't work out for him. It was detrimental to him. And it's the same for all of us. If we turn the Lord away enough, you know, we may not get another chance. But thanks be to God for His grace that He's shown the different ones that we don't always, we never deserve God's grace, but He is there, and He's trying to reach anyone that will humble their heart and call on Him. But Psalms 22 and 23 says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him, all ye the seed of Jacob. Glorify Him and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him. But when he cried unto Him, He heard." And I'm thankful the Lord hears when we do cry out to Him. And when we are in trouble, that's the time to go to the Lord. And even before then, but I mean, if we are in that predicament, we need to humble our heart and call on Him. Don't just give up hope. And we need to call out to Him. He is there for us and wanting to help us. In Isaiah 53 and 4, we see here how the Lord Himself was afflicted because of our sins. And nothing that He done wrong, but He took upon Himself our penalty for our sins, and He was that a sacrifice for us that we didn't have to pay that penalty ourselves. Isaiah 53 and 4 says, "Surely He hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. For with His stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth." In verse 8 says, "As for He was taken from prison and from judgment, who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken." And He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And verse 11, it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. And so he was afflicted for us, not because he did anything wrong, but he was bearing our sins. And he was paying that penalty, that vicarious sacrifice in the place of another. He did it. Not because he had to. He come from heaven and he chose to. He had it made there, and it was, I'm sure, a beautiful place, and he was in charge there, and he didn't have to leave all that and come to this place and face what the devil had to throw towards him. But he does it because he loves us, and he's still yet interceding for us yet today because of his love for us. And he's not giving up on us. He reaches and he keeps trying to bring us in if we'll just surrender to him. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So he gave us an example. You know, he wants us to be dedicated to him and make it to the end and not give up on the way. But he says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So there's going to be times we will have to suffer in this life, but it's going to be well worth it. And it's a privilege to suffer for our Lord after what he's done for us. And there's nothing too much he could ask for us, you know, even to the surrender of our own life if he demands it. Most of the 12 apostles, they were martyred for the Lord. Only John the Revelator, I believe, was the only one who wasn't, besides the one that hung himself, the one that turned against God, Judas Iscariot. But the others, they all end up giving their life for the Lord, a sacrifice for him because of their great love for him, for what he had done for them. In Acts 14 and 19, it says, but there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So he exhorted them that there would be some times, you know, there will be tribulation coming our way. And we've been pretty sheltered here in America up to this point. And we've had laws, you know, protect our religious beliefs and things because of our founding fathers. And I thank the Lord for the privilege we've had to live here and grow up here. But there may be coming a time soon where all that may turn around. But regardless of what the cost is, I want to continue on with the Lord. It'll be well worth it. And there's nothing to turn back for. In Acts 20 and 30, it says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And this is Paul speaking. He was talking about the false teachings and things coming, and that was coming to the church. He was very concerned and praying for them. in tears many times because of what he's seen coming on the church. And he was concerned about the daily cares of the church, had that burden despite all the other things he faced. In 2 Timothy 3 and 12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not maybe or sometimes, but it says shall. There is going to be persecution coming our way, but it's well worth it. In Romans 8 and 18, it says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And when we get across to the other side, and we look back, you know, it's going to be such joy. We're going to forget about all that we went through to get there. And God's going to make it worth it. And there's not going to be any more suffering or pain or sorrow on the other side. It's going to be a different world. There's no devil there to tempt us or try us. But it's just, there's no comparison to what he's got waiting for us if we'll just stay faithful to him. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 6, I've heard this scripture quoted here recently. I can't remember who it was. But, it says, "Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which I see, he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. And lest I should be exalted above measures to the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I reckon, or rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And truly, when we find ourselves in this situation, we have a tendency to turn more to the Lord and lean more on him. And we have no other option. If we don't turn to him, we won't make it, because we can't make it on our own strength. He says, excuse me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And we're not going to make it there on our own strength. It's only because of his grace, his help, he will see us through. In Acts 5 and 18, it's talked about the apostles that were in prison. It says, "They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent them to the prison to have them brought. And when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted to them wherein this would grow. And they came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye have put in prison, standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, and they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. And anyway, the Lord set them free from the prison there, worked a miracle, and they just brought them out. But they didn't run and hide. They went right back to preaching the gospel that God was with them. And he said, We should obey God rather than man. And that's good advice. If anyone tells us anything contrary to God's commands, we should listen to God, not man. It's one thing to fear man, but there's a greater fear for God. He is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, but man is limited what he can do to us. But he can't take our eternal life from us. Only if we turn from the Lord can that happen. In Acts 9:23, it says, And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. It's talking about Paul, escapes to Jerusalem. It says, But their lying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gate day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and laid him down by the wall in a basket. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he swayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and then declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost was multiplied. And so there's many, many instances we can look how Paul was persecuted, how he was mistreated, and he's only... After he came to know the Lord in the right way, he thought he was doing God's service when he was persecuting the church. But when he finally got headed in the right direction, he endured quite a bit for the Lord, and he was faithful. He never quit going on for the Lord. And it came to pass in Acts 16:16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us and brought her master much gained by soothsaying, and the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of that same hour. When her master saw that their hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, into the rollers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up and gathered against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them to the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And when, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And the man turned his heart to the Lord, and his house was saved, and they fixed him something to eat there that night and had fellowship afterwards. But thank the Lord that jailer was saved because of their suffering there, and they were willing to go through for the Lord. And they didn't let it get them down. They were rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of their persecution, their trials, and their beatings. But he was there with them in the midst of what they were going through and strengthened them. In Acts 20 and 22, it says, Now behold, I go bond in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. And Paul, he wasn't worried about what he was going to face. He just continually went on forward for the Lord, and he wasn't worried about losing his life or whatever. The Lord was there with him, and we know later how he testified he had finished his course, and he ran to the chopping block and laid down his head there to give his life for the Lord, and he wasn't afraid to die. But Acts 23 and 10, it says, When there arose a great dissension of the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, and bring him into the castle. And that night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And we know how this little boy came along in verse 16. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, Bring this young man to the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain, and said, Paul, the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man to thee, who hath something to say to thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, What is this that thou hast to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire something of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield to them, for there lie in wait for him more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they would neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. And anyway, they end up sneaking Paul out of there in the middle of the night. Had many soldiers, 70 soldiers, I believe it was. Talking verse 23, but it goes down and says, verse 31, Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night into Antipas. But anyway, Paul repeatedly, he was persecuted. His life was put on the line many a time, and it didn't bother him a bit. I mean, sure, I'm sure he was concerned, but he didn't let it get the best of him. He kept going on for the Lord, and despite of what came his way, but God was with him and had a purpose for his life. In Galatians 6 and 9, says, Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we can't look at the situation around us and let it get us down and, you know, get weary and well-doing and living for the Lord. But it's all going to be good one of these days when the Lord's going to turn it all around. There's a measure of the suffering he will allow in our life, just like in Job's situation. the devil came to him and had to ask for permission to do what he did to him, but there was a certain limit where God said, this is enough. He wouldn't let him go any further, but we don't know what all we face, but God is going to be with us, and there's a purpose for what we go through. And Psalms 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. And sometimes Christians do have fears, just like other people. You know, they face things that don't understand or don't want to face, but God is there with us. And in verse 7 there, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him to deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. So thank the Lord, he's got his angels there camped round about those that fear him, and are watching over us, protecting us. In verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So he doesn't leave us in any of them. He's going to bring us through all of them. It doesn't matter whether he takes us out of the situation or whether he sends us through it and goes through it with us. Either way, whatever the Lord prefers. You know, God is not going to leave us alone. He's going to be there with us even to the end of the world, the Bible says. In Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I'm thankful for the testimonies of this man that though he was persecuted to great extents, yet he was willing to go and forgive the man that did those things to him. That would be a very hard thing to do, but with God's help, we can do it. But we can't hold grudges. The Bible tells us, you know, we must forgive in order to be forgiven. In 1 Peter 4:12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, as which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, if I can talk. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On your part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So, like I said, it's a privilege to live for God and go through what we do for him after all he's done for us. But the afflictions and the trials are only temporary, what we are going through now. And then there's going to be eternal peace and happiness on the other side. That's for the child of God. But those that do not make it, there's going to be continual affliction for them. There's no end of what they're going to endure in the other side if they don't accept the Lord. But the reward is for the faithful, the overcomer. You can look in Revelations. It talks about different ones, different places. It says you'll have a new name in heaven, authority over nations, name not blotted out of the book of life, honored by Christ, will sit with him, Christ in his throne, and forever be God's children. And either we overcome the world and what it's throwing at us, or we'll be overcome and we'll end up in that lake of fire. There's no neutral ground. The battle's to the finish, and it's either victory for the good or for the evil. But if we refuse to obey the Lord, let him work in us, have his way, then we will not make it. But if we surrender to him, let him guide us and keep have his way, then we will make it with his help. In Psalms 37:39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And I'm thankful. I went through some hard times in my life. Everyone does. But I can always look back and see where God's hand was there helping me in the midst of those times. And he was that encouragement and help right when I needed him. And I'm looking for a small book here, Nahum, chapter 1, 7. It's kind of hard for me to find that one. It says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. And we need to know our Lord, but he also knows those that trust in him. He knows where we stand with him. And he is for us. He's not against us. And Jason hit on one of my scriptures after all this. Towards the end, I'm covering Ephesians chapter 6 and 10. It talked about the full armor of God to put it on. And he didn't know I was going to share that tonight, but it was right at the end of my message here. But it just talks about, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I do believe we're in the evil day. It talks about here, I believe we're in the end times. It talks about just for a woman brings forth a child, she's having those birth pains, and they get stronger as she gets closer to the time for the child to be born. And the same with the time before the Lord comes, we're going to see more and more evil and more persecution and things as the Lord draws near. But the Lord's going to be with us and help us through all that. He gave us all the equipment we need to stand, the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And when I went to work, where I work, they have certain safety rules. They call it PPE, personal protective equipment, and certain things they require. One thing is steel-toed boots. We handle a lot of heavy steel. If you drop something off your table, lands on your toe, you may not have a toe after that. And so if you got that on there, it gives you a sporting chance, unless it hits behind it, and I've seen that happen. But got to have long sleeve shirts, got to have safety glasses, earplugs, and a face shield when you're grinding. If you get caught grinding without a face shield, it's immediate termination. It's about $500 cost every time you see the eye doctor and dig something out of your eye and things like that. So people that don't want to pay attention to that, they don't take it too lightly. But you're protecting your ears and your eyes, the same thing when we go through our daily life, we got to protect ourselves from what we see and what we hear. We don't want to put garbage into our minds. And I've noticed lately on TV, I'm not watching as much as I used to, but seems like there's more vulgar talk and more cursing, just no restraint. And it just kind of irked me, and I said, I don't want to watch that no more. Just quit watching it. And it's like the safety glasses. You know, you're protecting your eyes, and you got to have dark lens when you're welding. And I know if you weld too much with too light a lens, you start seeing spots, and it messes your eyes up and burns them up, fries them before you get my age. So you always want to use a darker lens you can, long as you can, and then you'll go down to a lighter one as you get where you can't see, but right now I use the number 11, which I've used for most of my years at welding, and sometimes 10 before that, depending on what I'm working on. But same, you know, we're protecting our eyes. We got to watch what we see. We need to put God's word before us. We got to read it, not other garbage, and put things in our mind that we don't want to turn us away from God. And we just got to use common sense, mainly. Your earplugs, protect your ears, hearing at work. If you all around that long, loud noise long enough, it messes your ears up. Even if you do have earplugs, I've gotten where my hearings went downhill after being in those shops most of my life. But anyway, we have these requirements there, this personal protective equipment for a reason, to protect us. But God's given us personal protective equipment also there in Ephesians 10. He gives us those things to help us fight the battle we're in. And if we don't use it, we're not going to be victorious. So we got to use what he give us and let him train us and take us through if we'll just listen to him. And I'm through. Pastor, turn it back to you.